Talk about the good things of God tonight. Let's read from the book of St. Matthew's in the 13th chapter. Jesus is explaining a parable that he gave here concerning the tares and the wheat. And he's also expressing the thoughts of faith as the grain of mustard seed. Then he adds that the field is the end of the world, and that the tares are gathered, they're burned in the fire, and the Son of Man sends forth his angels to gather all of the elect together at the end of the world, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, that shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth in as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ear to hear, let him hear. And again, he used a parabolic speech. And the Bible says, without a parable, spake he not unto the people. And in each parable, he always magnified the church, and he brought down the world and them that were in the world that would do wrong. He used the terms, the field is the world. And the sowing, of course, is in the world, which is in the field. And he used that to show that everyone is plowing and sowing seed. And in that there is a sowing of seed, he emphasized the fact that because of this, there must of necessity be a harvest. So it is it's very obvious that we are not going to be without a harvest, that we're going to do some harvesting. It's very obvious that we are, and just as we have planted, we're going to harvest. The songwriter once said, sow the righteous seeds for the reaping, which is coming to each and every one, that you can rejoice on that day when you'll hear the Savior say, come ye blessed, a crown ye have won. So then, may we sow the righteous seeds for the reaping. Every time that you speak a word, every time that you do some kind of a deed, no matter what it might be, then you've sown a seed. And though we like to think sometimes that we're just kind of standing still, as someone says, tread water, and that we are not going forward or backward, we're not causing any problems whatsoever. But according to the Bible, Jesus said, he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. So see, there's only two ways. You either gather with Christ or you scatter abroad. And it's obvious that you live a life. Every day you live a life. Every day you sow seed. Every day you say something. Every day you do something. As long as life is in this vessel, it's going to overflow. And things are going to be said, done. You're going to think thoughts, whatever. And you are leading people and influencing people, and people are watching you, and people are following you, and you don't have to say a word to those people, but those people are either rejecting your way of life or conforming in admiration to your way of life. So then it's very obvious that if you're not gathering with Christ, then you are scattering abroad. Your everyday living will bring forth Christ as the life of Christ manifested within your mortal genes, or else it will repel. And if you are not following God, conforming to God, doing what God wants done, saying what God wants you to say, then it's very obvious that what you're doing, you are influential to those that you are sending in another direction. And you are programming their minds and their thoughts in another direction as they look and behold your deeds. Whereas the Bible uses the term that we are an epistle that's known and read of all men. And every day of our life, men read our lives. They watch our lives. And in that we are, they're going to read good or bad. They're going to see good or bad. They're going to see the life of Christ, or they're going to see the thirst and hunger of the world. And I remind you so often, the Bible said, if the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father's not there. So, as the writer said, if we are in the Spirit, then we should walk in the Spirit. Someone would say, well, I know, Brother Pike, that I'm in the Spirit. If you're in the Spirit, Then the Bible said, walk in the Spirit. It's very obvious that if you do not walk in the Spirit, that you're not in the Spirit. But if you are in the Spirit, give me a proof of it, Paul said, and let me see you walk in the Spirit. And of course, this will be my proof. Now, James said, you say that you have faith and you have no works. You show me you're believing by doing nothing. He said, and I'll show you what I believe by doing something. So then show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. And if you're in the Spirit, give me a proof of it. Let me see the daily activities of your life. I was just telling somebody, I believe it was yesterday, I was sitting there on the sofa, and I had my eyes closed, and I was just resting my eyes a few minutes and thinking on the Lord. And all of a sudden, I looked, and I saw a woman come before me just, you know, like this. And as she came up before me, it looked like that she was having a little problem with a couple of people, whether men or whatever, and was trying to be a little evasive to get her composure to where she could speak to me. And as she come up, I recognized her. I heard her say, you know, she has been here as one of the sisters. And she said, I went to hell, blah, 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 blah. And she wasn't mocking. She wasn't mocking. It was that she had been overtaken by some power and was able to murmur, I have been to hell. And then it all turned into a blah, 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 like that. And that's all there was to it. Whereas the woman has sidestepped the gospel, raised her perception against the minister and against the people. And now she has run into horrible circumstances and would love to turn around and come back. I got the report, I believe it was yesterday, that she had made the statement that said, if I went back on my belly like a snake, Brother Pike wouldn't have me back. Well, consequently, anybody that repents of their sins and offers to try to get to God, I'm going to do all I can to help them. And I pray for the individual. I have been praying for the individual. No doubt I'll continue to pray for the individual unless the Lord shows me different. But it is a true fact that when you know something for numbers of years and you follow it as here with us, and then you just turn and do as ugly as the person did and go back out into the world to do the things of the world, you have caused such a reproach that it'll never be wiped away. And it is true that I have no need for a person like that as to put them into something to where they could be a worker for God or do something for God. I certainly do not have any need for that, and I certainly would not cater to anything like that. And like some of these ministers that's falling, I have nothing against them. I do not believe that they belong back behind the sacred desk. I had somebody, let me say this, more than one to dispute my outlook in that. It's like Billy Graham made the statement that when he got to heaven, the one person he was going to see was Elvis Presley. I do not believe that because I do not believe Elvis Presley is in heaven. And somebody said, well, Brother Pike, you don't have a right to judge another man's servant. I know that. I understand that. But the Bible did tell me that I had the right to judge righteous judgment. And the Bible does tell me that the saints shall judge the world. So I do not believe that people that do things like Elvis Presley did, that die in their sins, go to heaven. I don't believe that. And there's no record where he ever turned around at any time to do any different. He did have a repentance, some remorse or repentance, so did Esau. But even after this, as far as I know, he did nothing for God or to try to make things right. Now, someone would say, well, how do you feel about a statement like that, Brother Pike? I read it myself where the papers interviewed him. I think maybe it was the same. It could have been the same papers that wrote a story on us when we was there in the Carolinas. But anyway, I feel this way. Two can't walk together unless they be agreed. And if two walk together, that means they got to be of the same spirit, Brother Dale. And I do not believe that a man as a minister can make that statement without being in agreement with what the man done and stood for. And I also feel this way, that when a minister, whether it's me or Oral Roberts or Billy Graham or T.L. Osborne or William Branham, any great man that's in the world today, any person that's not great, if they are a minister, I do not believe that they can be sent of God unless the people that they preach to turn away from their sins. I cannot believe that those people are of God, because the Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak God's word. And God spoke of these men, and God said, I did not send them, speaking of people that do not turn people from their sin. Said, because if I had sent them, and they had stood in my counsel, they would have caused my people to turn from their sins. So very obviously, the Bible said, if the love of the world is in you, that's sin and death. And to be carnally minded is death, that's to be worldly minded. So these people go out into the world, they do the things of the world, they agree with people that are in the world. So I believe with all of my heart that the people that do that, whether it's me or Oral Roberts or William Branham as to when he lived, or Till Osborne, and I say that as to men that you are acquainted with, if any one of us does fail to turn the people from their sin, then we're not of God. It doesn't matter what we say. Somebody says, but I know this great minister or this great person. I know their speech, and they can just keep you spellbound, and they can do so many things. And my, they can draw the crowd. It has nothing to do with it. If they don't turn people from their sins, God didn't send them. Someone would say, well, you mean to tell me you don't believe that those men get up and preach under the anointing? They certainly do get up, and the Bible says that those people actually transform their minds. Said they are children of the devil, but yet they transform their minds. Ministers of the devil, but they transform their minds into ministers of light. And they get up and they speak words of light. This mind, because the blood is on the seat of atonement and the Spirit of God is poured out upon all flesh, and they can be just as religious as you are. They can shout just like you. They can even speak in tongues. They can do all these things. They can even do like Balaam. They can have gifts. Balaam actually saw the Lord with his eyes open. And the Bible said whoever he blessed was blessed, and whoever he cursed was cursed. They can do all them things and still die and go to hell. The Bible said concerning Balaam, God had him killed because he was a soothsayer. And just like this thing over here, just a few miles away, I'm sure you pass by there when the crowd gathers. And it's about 5,000, I believe the paper stated, that has come over. Comes over about every 13th day of the month. And this woman supposedly tells them the message that Mary has told her. They're having a problem over there because buses are just lining up everywhere. See, and they are told each month as to what Mary has seen and told this woman. And this woman is giving them a message for the world and for our nation. And of course, they're selling all kind of t-shirts and everything, and it's just booming. It's just everywhere. Now, see, 5,000 people. Someone would say, now, well, what do you think about that, Brother Pike? Well, I could roll the thing around and say, well, I don't know, and maybe, and supposedly, and it could be, and you know, and I'm afraid to say, and that I'm not afraid to say anything. That's of the devil. That's the spirit of Satan, and that's of the devil, and them people that are so gullibly gathering, they are gathering led of the devil, even though some innocents get mixed up in it. And because they have no love for the truth, they are ignorant. And when these things start happening, they pour in there after that. And that is an abomination in the sight of God. You know, people say, well, lovely Mary, the mother of God. I tell you this so often. Mary is not the mother of God. Mary is the Lord's mother. She is the mother of our Lord, which was a human being. But she was not the mother of God. When Jesus resurrected from the dead, they said, a spirit. He said, fill of me. A spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. But in the 24th chapter of John and the 4th verse, it says God is a spirit. God doesn't have any mother. As a matter of fact, in the Old Testament, when God was talking to Job, out of whose hoary womb could God come, or did God come? See, God has no mother. God created Mary, and there is but one mediator between God and man, and that is a human body that God made called the Lord Jesus, that the great eternal spirit might purge it, make it perfect, and relate to mankind through that human form. And there is no other atonement, there is no other blood, there is no other mediator, and you're to have no other God before him. And when you do that, as to whether it's Mary or whatever, then you are of the devil, and you are leading people into a devastation that's going to come from God, and an angry God is going to meet you just like he'll meet that woman somewhere. And the Bible said, "Beware ye that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces." But anyway, the heresy keeps rising. So then out of these men that I named as great men, the great preachers, I know surely that some of those men are great men, and I know that they're doing great things. And some of those men are of God, and some of them has gone into error. They started off good. Paul said, "You did run well, but who hath hindered you?" And he said, "Lay aside the weights that does so easily beset you, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." And some of these men have gotten off into the wrong thing. They've got tripped up, and it's a bad situation. But on the other hand, some have plowed right on through, carrying the gospel, this great, wonderful gospel that we're preaching tonight. See, and there's going to be a harvest. There is going to be a harvest because there has been a planting. And where there's a planting, there's going to be growth. And when growth comes, it's going to be a harvest. But the harvest is going to be according to the seed. You can't tell it when they are growing up together. You can't tell it. You can't tell much about it. But after they get far enough along, where they start to tussle out and bring their harvest, then you can tell whether it was a tear or whether it was wheat. Because whatever the seed is, it's going to bring forth as to whether it's an apple or a crab apple. So we know then by that there's a harvest. And we know that we're living in the harvest time. Because Jesus emphasized the fact that this parabolic speech indicates the end of the world. And he said, and the harvest is the end of the world. Well, we could question that. We could say, well, I don't know about that, Brother Pike, as to whether this is really the end of the world or not, or whether the end of the world is the harvest. Well, Jesus said the end of the world is the harvest, so that settles that part of it. Now, the other is, I don't know, I don't understand whether or not this is the end of the world. Well, let's settle that. Peter said, even as far as Calvary, ye are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. So that settles that. Now, someone would say, well, Brother Pike, with all those hundreds of years back there, and now you're telling me that that was the end of the world? It certainly was. Well, what happened? Why didn't everything blow up if that was the end of the world? Because, as I told you before, that you don't understand the end of the world. And you don't understand the great mystery of God. You don't understand godliness. All you see is lying vanities. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I know that I understand. Because I've studied, I've fasted, I've been in the gospel for years. If you do, then why is it you do not understand that this is the end of the world? Why is it that you do not have faith in the word of God when Peter said, you are the people upon whom the end of the world have come? And why is it that you do not understand that that was the end of the world and understand that what I'm saying is the truth? And Jesus said, why don't you hear these things and understand them? He said, because you don't even hear my voice. You're not my sheep. See, but if you were my sheep, you would hear my voice. And if you did hear my voice, then you would understand. Because the Bible said the righteous shall understand, but the wicked shall not understand. And if you don't understand, then you've got to be wicked. See, but if you do understand, then you've got to be righteous. And I allow for babes there, because little babes are coming along, and they're toddling along. But they still believe. There's something in them that believes. That little old tiny babe that's in that mother's arm that reaches up to nurse that breast when it gets hungry or it clings to its mother, though it doesn't know anything as to intellectual reasoning, as to a differentiation of life, as to things. But yet, there is something about that little one that is relative to that mother, and something about that mother that is relative to that little one. It is cleaved to mother because it believes. It knows that's mother. And you take the little thing out of the mother's arms, and it'll just scream and holler because it feels comfortable. It feels the warm love and that protection that comes from mother, that feeling of security. Well, anyway, that's the way it is, folks. I'd love to take a lot of time sometimes, as I say so often, to try to expound the end of the world and the beginning of the world and what the world is and what the world is not. But we usually don't ever have time because of the services as to the way human beings think and to the way in coming to church that they feel as to what the preacher should say and how long he should take and whether or not he's preaching and whether or not he is just up there saying things, you know. And because they judge him all the time, and because in their minds they're looking at him as to weigh him, when he is the judge and he's the one that's making the decisions, and it's not him speaking but the Heavenly Father, and they're the ones that's weighed in the balance. They can't even touch the minister. They have no power to touch the minister. He's the one that blesses. He's the one that curses. He's the one that retains their sins or remits their sins. He's the one, you know, not them. But nevertheless, he is the one that's under the guns, and he is the one that's weighed in the balances of the human minds, and in many cases found wanting as far as they're concerned. And so then, as a result of that, the minister cannot just kind of recede as to his natural intelligence and human reasoning to let the Holy Spirit minister freely to speak to you and explain all these great, wonderful mysteries of God. Well, the Bible said the Spirit of God searcheth out the things of God, yea, the deep things. And Jesus told him, said, launch out into the deep. Then pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. Because he said, the world will not see these things, for Satan, the god of this world, hath blinded their eyes, lest their eyes should open at any time, and he should see them, and they should be converted, see, and be healed. And it's obvious that I say so often that this light, which is God, the great revealed understanding of Almighty God, it shines in darkness, which means in the midst of your human educational system, and in the midst of your human reasoning as to what you're born with, as that old carnal mind of doubt, where, as the Bible said, lean not to your own understanding, but casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, to bring into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ every thought. For the eyes of the Lord are throughout the earth, going to and fro, looking for the upright in heart, that he might show himself strong in their behalf. And the Bible said, the pure in heart shall see God. In that God is a spirit, and God is the great light, the great spirit, the great invisible one, the untouchable one, so far as a tangible touch. See, and he is the one that's ever present, and he's everywhere, and yet to the human beings, nowhere. He is everything, and yet to a human being, he's nothing. Because all of their intellectual definitions is of their ignorance. And Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. And he said, you being blinded on the inside by the ignorance of the Lucifer spirit that dwelleth within you, that comes down through the blood as to the semen that came down from Adam, that gives you your life, and thus you are carnal minded. Because of that, in Adam, all die. So the veil of death remains. And he said, as Jesus was preaching, he said, concerning the Jews, he said, and this veil, as to this veil, there is a veil over the people's face. Speaking of Israel. Which veil remains until this day, Jesus said, or Paul said. That veil is still here, even in their day of ministering. He said, which veil is rent at Calvary, done away with in Christ, he said, which we know means rent at Calvary. And out of that, as to this having been given to us in Christ before the world ever was, brought to light, which means understanding or revealed knowledge at Calvary, he said, given to us in Christ before the world ever was, through predestination, through foreknowledge, and then brought to light at the rent veil of Calvary, and then preached to us down through the church ages, that this great wonderful light shining out of darkness has shined out of darkness, out of the darkness of our intellectual ignorance, which was in our heart by our first birth, and it has become a great light, and it has been preached to us down through the church ages, that we might, as this light comes to us in measures, being called to glory and the virtue, that we comprehend the heights, the depths, the width, and the length of this wonderful light. And this light, of course, being the Lamb, for the Bible speaks of that city of lively stones, of which stones ye are, the Lord saying, I'll remember you when I make up my jewels. And that as to a bride adorned for her husband ascending out of the heavens, and ye are they that dwell in heaven. And so then at the coming, as to the restoration, as to the great city, as to the new earth, then it's true that we are those that make up that city, as to that pyramid, up to that great capstone, even the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lamb within that city is the light of that city, because that city hath no need for light as to the sunlight. For the sunlight shall never fall upon God's people again, never again. Neither shall darkness ever fall upon God's people again. All of those things as to the sun, the moon, the stars, this world, vanity, only typical, symbolic of the great wonderful world that is to come. And you that are beasts, Though you appear to be human beings, yet you are very outstanding in this world. Yet you're still beast. And even though you are outstanding in this world, you are beast. And you're only symbolic of the true sons of God who are not beasts, but who are gods. Even now, they're in the land today, in the world today. They're referred to sometimes as messengers of light, or that is, they're the ones that project this light to bring you understanding, because they're the members of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ in particular, and they are the light of the world. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. I come into your heart. Now ye are the light of the world, and let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And so then that city hath no need for the sun, for the Lamb is the light thereof. Well, anyway, we could go into a lot of things concerning the city. That means that something has happened. What about the end of the world? Well, we won't be able to get into but just a fragment of it, but what about the end of the world? If the end of the world came, then Brother Pike, what in the name of reasoning is this as to our day? And if the end of the world came, then where in the world are we? Well, that's a good question. See, first of all, the end of the world did come, and we're not anywhere in the world. Where in the world are we? We're not anywhere in the world. The Bible said, I've chosen you out of the world, and I've hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, until the restoring of all things. So where are we? It said the heavens received us. How do you approach that, Brother Pike? By the word, when he said, rejoice ye that dwell in heaven, for you are dwelling in a place that even though all of these terrible things of life fall around you, they'll never come nigh your dwelling. Someone said, well, would you substantiate that with Scripture? Because I have a lot of problem. I substantiate it with Scripture because the Bible said, he that is born of God keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. It's very obvious that if the devil never touches you, you must be somewhere where these things are falling all around you, but they don't come nigh your dwelling. So then someone would say, well, what are you talking about? I'm talking about that good old time religion. Hallelujah. The writer said, let us go on talking about this good old way. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. So what am I then saying? I'm saying that that little house, Peter said, if it be dissolved, we have another one eternal in the heavens not made with hands. If that tabernacle within that intellectual wilderness is to the wondering, if it be dissolved, and the Bible said the heavens being on fire, everything being on fire, that the elements, even the very elements of your body and whatever, shall melt and be dissolved, melt with fervent heat, and the earth and all therein shall utterly be burned up, and we shall tread the ashes of the wicked under our feet. So it's obvious that we are free from the bond child image of the old death and the body of Adam. And we are free in that we, though we relate to the things of the world as to the natural, yet it's only as to a substance, as to sustaining us. And we, as Paul said, meat for the belly and belly for the meat, but I won't come under the bondage of any of it. And I'm dead to the world, but the body of the Lord Jesus, and the world is dead to me. And so then I'm free from the things of this world, and these things have no power over me whatsoever, because my body is now dead, and it is my daily task and my daily desire, my daily effort. This is the end toward which I work, as to mortify the deeds of this flesh, to crucify this body, to depart from this bodily person, and to bring this body under subjection to the extent of casting down every thought and to making manifest the life of Christ in these mortal genes, to have the mind of Christ, to where I can say with Paul, it's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me. And I can say with Jesus, I and my Father are one. In this, where are we if we are not in the earth? You're not in the earth, for I've chosen you out of the world, and I've hid you with Christ. So then, where are we? The Bible said the heavens have received us, and that we're sitting in the heavenly places. Where are we then? Our body, though it appears to you that we are here, I can look at you and you can look at me. And the Bible said that if we do that, then we're in error as to sum up things, that you're here and I'm here in a world. Because the Bible said to know one after the flesh, that when you know one after the flesh, that you're in error. That we're not to know any man after the flesh, not even the Lord Jesus. Even as he walked here as a man, we once knew him after the flesh, but we don't know him after the flesh anymore. What do we then do? With the mind of Christ, we call those things that are not as though they are. We look back to the beginning and beyond the beginning, and we take the mind of God that was there, that was manifested in the body of Jesus during the time of his earthly ministry, and now we have this mind that has taken us back beyond the beginning into the world of the great light, and we call those things that are not as to human sight and human understanding, as to scientific definition, those things are not so far as they're concerned. They can't find them, they can't see them, but we see them and we always know them, and we call those things as though they are, because they really are, and we really are part of it. And the part that they define as being reality is nothing but lying vanities, and all is vanity, vanity, and vexation of the spirit, as Solomon said, and all of this must pass away, and all is passing away. All that the eye sees is but lust and vanity. All that the ears hear, all this human being that you see is nothing but that that will vanish away. But beloved friend, beyond the beginning, that is going back into the garden with God, going back over into that great wonderful world of light, God being the great light into which no man can approach, Jesus Christ, or we as the membership of the body alone, dwells in that great wonderful wisdom, that great wonderful world of understanding, that great wonderful angelic world, and we are in the kingdom, and the kingdom is within us. Because the world continued until Calvary, and Peter said, now ye are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. And now the kingdom of God has come, and men press their way into the kingdom of God. Now then, are you in the kingdom of God, or are you in the world? See, I would stop right here as to them that question me and them that are always having me under the guns. Let me stop just a minute and slow down to ask you a question. Since I sometimes am rude in speech but not in knowledge, and since I'm so questioned by many spirits and many people, then I turn the thing to you. See, and I ask you a question a lot of times. Then, where are you? Where are you? See, who are you? And where are you? Are you then in this world? Or are you then in heaven? So then, and I'm looked at as kind of strange, as to say, well, wait a minute now, Brother Pike. I think you're a little eccentric, or you've gone off of the deep end. If that be so, are ye they that dwell in heaven? Are ye that's been chosen out of the flesh? Which means out of the body dead but Calvary, buried in a watery grave. Are ye that was chosen out of the flesh? Do you dwell in the earth? Or are ye those that dwell in heaven? Or the question arises like this, the law and the prophets, did the kingdom really come at Calvary? The Bible said it did. And the Bible said men pressed their way into the kingdom. Have you pressed your way into the kingdom? Is there anybody here that says that they've been born again? Was you born again in this world? Or was you born again in that world? You was born here one time. Now, if you're dead but the body of the Lord Jesus and you're dead but Calvary, and the Bible said reckon yourselves to be so, then the question arises, have you been born again? And if you've been born again, was you then born into the same world that you just died out of? If so, then what good did it do you to get born again? You're in the same old mire that you was to start with. You're in the same wilderness you was to start with. You're lapping your vomit the same way that you did to start with. What good did it do you to be born again if you're born into this world? See, there's no such thing as being born into this world. Because if you was born again, you couldn't lap vomit. You couldn't wallow in the mire. So then if it was so that you take it that you are, then that's your strong delusions. That's your hallucination. That's because you had not a love for the truth. Was you born again? If you was born again, did God, through a new birth, translate you into the marvelous kingdom of God? And if you are translated into the marvelous kingdom of God, how is it that you're still in this world? How is it that you're still in this world? Someone would say, well, the kingdom of God has come into this world. Where did you ever read that in the Bible? Said, well, the Bible said the kingdom of God has come into this world. Where did you read that? It said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So then, as to
differentiate so there's no confusion? Where are we? Someone would say, well, I'm still in the world. Well, if you're still in the world, then you're still in the flesh. And the Bible says if you're still in the flesh, that you can't please God because it's impossible. And the Bible said there is now no condemnation to them who are not in the flesh. That means not in the world, but in the Spirit. And if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth within you, then that means that this Spirit will also quicken your mortal body by this wonderful power that's within you that raised up Christ from the dead. And it also means that if the Spirit is in you, that is the Spirit of the resurrection. It is the Spirit that brought Christ from the dead, which means the quickening Spirit, Christ, the quickening Spirit, which is the Spirit of resurrection. If it is the Spirit of resurrection, how then is it that you have not passed from death unto life? How is it that you're still dead with the resurrection on the inside of you? See, and if the resurrection is on the inside of you, why is it necessary for you to die again? Or is it possible that you can die at all now that the resurrection and life is on the inside of you? Of course not. There's no way you could die. See, what it is, it's our misunderstanding. Just like when Jesus said to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, are you a master in Israel and you don't understand these things? If I spoke to you about earthly things and you don't understand them, how are you going to understand these heavenly things if I talk to you about these heavenly things? He said, no man has ascended up into heaven but the Son of Man to whom Nicodemus was communicating with. No man's ever been up there but me, he was saying, and came down from heaven. And he said, Nicodemus, I'm still in heaven. See, the little child again, the innocency, his spirit had never entered into sin. The prince of this world cometh, even Lucifer, the fallen one, he hath not in me. He can't find a place in me. Not one time has he ever touched my spirit. Beloved friends, since I've been born again of the Holy Spirit, Satan hath never touched me one time. And you know what? He'll never touch me. Never, no, never, no, never, no, never. So someone said, well, what about all these people that are falling, Brother Pike? They never were born again. Or someone would say, well, you don't expect me to believe that, do you? Well, that's what the Bible says. And I expect you to believe what I'm preaching, because he that God sendeth will speak God's word. And that's what God's word says. And if you're elect, then you've got faith and you'll believe it. And if you're not elect, you're not going to believe it, because all men don't have faith as to salvation faith. So as to the faith of Christ, then we say, well, what are you talking about? I'm simply saying these things to you. That if we're born again of the Spirit, Satan never touches us. We keep ourselves and he never touches us. He that is born of God cannot sin because he is born of God. And he keeps himself and the evil one toucheth him not. He is without spot, he is without wrinkle, he is without blemish. There's no such thing as Satan ever touching a Christian. All right, the water gets deeper and deeper. As the prophet went out, it was up to the ankle, and he got a little further, and he got up to the knee, and it got a little further, and you know, after a while, you're swallowed up by this, and you just go ahead and get baptized. Let's give the Lord a hand. So wonderful to believe in this wonderful truth of God. I'm going to comment just a little more, and then we're going to close. Where are we then? Are we then in the world? Of course not. If we was in the world, we couldn't please God, because we would be in the flesh. And he that's in the flesh cannot please God. But he said, beloved, you're not in the flesh. You're not in the world. And if you walk in the flesh, you can't please me. But you're not in the flesh, but you are in the Spirit. Now, when we say that, someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I look at me and look at me. But see, that's where you're in error. That's where you're wrong. That's why you misunderstand. You keep looking at you. But how do you look at a man that's dead and in the soul? I go by the graveyard where my dad is buried and my mother is buried, and I can't see them at all. I can't see them. Why? Because they're not here in this world as to sight. They're not here. They're gone away. They're not active here anymore. Do I see them? Of course not. So then, if you are dead and you are buried, can you look at your hands and file your nails and paint your nails and mess around with your eyebrows and all these kind of things, you know, and paint your face, you know, like they say, like a lizard and all of these kind of things, and notice your body and all these, your mind on your body? See, it proves one thing, that you're still in the world.
It proves one thing, that you have not died by Calvary, and you have not passed from death unto life. Neither are you born again, and neither have you passed into that city. See, and then when we differentiate so that we don't get all mixed up, what are we then saying? There is a natural man, Paul said, and there is a spiritual man. And that natural man is the outer man, and that spiritual man is the inner man. And when he says, and you are not in the flesh, he's talking about the spiritual man. Because you died by the body of Jesus at Calvary, and the spirit left the body, and at death the spirit goes back to God who gave it, because your spirit was translated into the Christ spirit, and the Christ spirit left that body, went away to be with God, on the third day came back, picked up that body, set it at the right hand of the Father, and because your spirit is one with the Christ spirit, that spirit is in the body of Jesus Christ, meaning that you have overcome by Calvary, and that the Bible said, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony, they overcome Satan. So, confessing to his righteousness, you overcome, and your spirit is in Christ's spirit, which is in his body, yonder at the throne. And you have overcome and sat down in the throne with him. For heaven is his throne, and earth is his footstool, where the old generation of vipers is, where the serpent is on his belly. And as long as you are in the flesh, and as long as you're down at the footstool, that's what you are. You are a generation of vipers, and all of your labor is for your belly and your mouth, because your belly craves it of you, and your mind is on your face and the form and the things, because Satan is the god of this world. He savors the things that be of this world and of the flesh. And if the love of the world is to the flesh and the body be in you, then the love of God isn't there. So you want to be heavenly minded. Let your conversation be in heaven. Have the spirit of revelation. Let all of your labor be to lay up treasures in heaven, where thieves don't break through and steal, and where moth doesn't corrupt. For wherever your treasures are, there's your heart. So then, if you are intellectually minded, then are you carnal minded? If you're carnally minded, then are you dead in your trespasses and sins? For the Bible says, you are dead in your trespasses and sins while you live. From the day that they eat thereof, they died. As to the carnal mind, and only by Calvary, that is put away, and the old serpent is done away with, and the spirit of Christ that was in that body went to heaven, and the spirit that was in you went into Christ's spirit and went into heaven. And today you are hid with Christ in his spirit, in God's spirit, whom the heavens have received, which is the spiritual world. So it's very obvious that when Paul said you are not in the flesh, it means your angelic being departed from your flesh. And your body is now dead by Calvary. And your body is now buried in a watery grave. And your angelic being went back to heaven with Christ. And it is there among the angels. And you can communicate with angels, just like John when he saw those angels in the vision on the Isle of Patmos. And you can communicate with angels. And even your loved ones may come and speak to you, because some of them are angelic beings in heaven up in glory. And even though you can get off track as to in this world, if you go on with Satan, you can also have communication with angels, even fallen angels, and you can communicate with the powers of the devil, and you're taken into captivity by the power of the devil whenever he desires. All the children of this world, the Bible said, are taken into captivity at his desire, and all that is of the world is the pride of life, the lust of the flesh. The world, the pride, the lust shall pass away, for he is the king of pride. And all that is of the world shall pass away. But he that doeth the will of the Father liveth forever. So then you are in the Spirit, not in the flesh. And if you are in the Spirit, then walk according to the Spirit. And subdue the old fleshly being. And kill the old serpent mind. And do away with the old body. And make manifest within your mortal genes this wonderful life of Christ. That you might be one with the Heavenly Father. Father, make these one, even one spirit, even as we are one. And this body that's dead profiteth nothing, as to the flesh. And just wait a little while, and the change will come. And you will see that great, wonderful body, that body of the Lord Jesus, you being his members, and him living on the inside of you, that spirit that returned there at Pentecost, after it ascended into heaven, it came back into hearts. And wherever that spirit came into a heart, then it turned that body of yours, as to that inside man, that inner man, that spiritual man, it turned it into the angel of God. And it is one with God.
It is in you, and your angel is one with it, and that means you are dwelling in heaven because you went away with him. And even though when we speak, we look, we see, as to natural people, we see these human forms around, but it's only the tabernacle that we speak of as in the wilderness. It's only a past event. It's all gone. The Lord never lays anything to its charge. It's not possible for that man to sin because you're no longer a beast. That part of you is dead. And your performance is that body of Jesus that performed all things in your behalf, that's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And when that headship appears, every one of you that's Christ on the inside, as to that hope, will all of a sudden change, and that beast body will be seen no more. Because there's a natural body and there's a spiritual body. And as you've borne the image of the earthly, so shall ye bear the image of the heavenly. There is a terrestrial body. There is a celestial body. There is a corruptible body. There is an incorruptible body. Have you borne the image of the first man Adam unto death, as to a tabernacle, your angelic man being in that, and that in the wilderness, wandering in that its beast, and in this wilderness of this world, and your intellectual thrust for life. And as you have borne it, though it be dissolved, we have another one eternal in the heavens, which is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is in the spirit, which is our performance, which is accepted of God, that we cannot perform in this beastly image. It was performed by Jesus Christ. And through the righteousness of one man, we're all made Christians. So the Bible said, blessed is he. Blessed is the man whose sins are covered by the blood of Jesus and whose iniquities are taken away. And blessed is the man unto whom God will not impute sin. Blessed is the man unto whom God imputeth faith for righteousness. And he that is born of God cannot sin. For Christ the seed remaineth in him, and he is our righteousness. And we're dead to the law, and we cannot transgress. As we close here, we cannot transgress because transgression of the law is sin. And we cannot transgress the law, because where there is no law, there's no transgression, Paul said. So we be dead to the law, therefore we cannot transgress the law. Oh, the law is gone from us, fulfilled at Calvary. Jesus said, not one jot, not one tittle shall pass away till all be fulfilled. He came at Calvary, fulfilled every jot and every tittle, folded it up, laid it away, done away with the beast body. The Christ in there smote that beast body that was made in our image of sin. And we were made the righteousness of God, delivered for our offenses as to the beast body image, and then raised again as to the glorified body of Christ, another form. And today we're justified by faith, having peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, are justified by faith. That means believing in his righteousness. With our heart, we believe unto righteousness. So God has sanctified our hearts by faith, sent his spirit into our heart, crying, Abba, Father. That is the power and the spirit of the resurrection. And your spirit went back to God who gave it, and it is dwelling in heaven. And Satan cannot touch it because it is sealed with all purity. And this seal standeth sure, that God knoweth them that are his among all the people of the earth. He can differentiate. And that means that you are children of God. Now you're sons of God. Eternally you're sons of God. You'll never change. You'll never sin. You'll never have a spot. You'll never have a blemish. Whereas someone would say, well, glory to God. That means we're all saved. All sins are taken away as to a time through the dispensation of grace. But you're not all children of God if you have not his spirit. Coming and listening to Brother Pike, you can only be a reflector. And these things will come to thrill you, but then they're gone. There's no way to retain it. But if you are a child of God, you have the Spirit of Christ. And these words come through the hearing as to faith. And then down in your heart, turn into spirit and into life. And of course, this makes you eternal. You are eternal. If you have not his spirit, you're none of his. But if you have his spirit, then you're eternal. And if you're eternal, you already have the resurrection. You already have the life. You've already passed from death into life. The law is folded up and laid away. You can't transgress it. Can't transgress it. So that means you can't sin, because transgression of the law is sin. And if you can't sin, that means you can't die, because the sting of death is sin, and sin is what kills. And if there's no law, no transgression, no sin, no sting, no death. So we pass from death unto life, and it's not necessary for them to even put us in a grave, because all of that's passed on and gone. That body's already dead. We died one time. It's appointed unto man to die one time. And we died one time by the body of the Lord Jesus. The others that died, they died because they did not come to that knowledge and that understanding and that faith and that conviction. Someone would say, well, what about all these other people that died, Brother Pike, that come to that knowledge and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and that received His Spirit? What are you going to do about that? Well, for your great intelligence and your crossing me to try to prove me wrong as they did Jesus in your mind is to be ensured that you got this thing figured out. To your utter amazement, you haven't. What happened to all them that died? There never was any of them that ever died. There's never one of them that ever died. Jesus said, I've never lost a one of them. I'll raise them all up at the last day. Some of them went to sleep. The Bible said Jacob fell on sleep. Lazarus sleepeth and all these things. And Paul said, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. As coming to the clarity of this and bringing this from a knowledge to faith down into the heart, then Enoch, by faith, was translated that he should not see death, as the heavens declared the handiwork, because he was not under the law. And from Calvary, we're under the law no more. So then we do not have to die. We do not even have to sleep. We have to perfect this within us to keep from sleeping. But we do have this heavenly treasure already, and we do have the resurrection and life already. And we have passed from death unto life already. And these that are among us that humanly reason are beasts. And they don't have the Holy Spirit. And they don't have eternal life. And though they're so sure that they're cataloging all of this in their intellectual genius, which is a thorn in my flesh from them being in my presence, but nevertheless, they're lost and they're undone without God, and they're not intelligent, and they don't know, and they haven't figured it out, and they haven't got it in two or three lessons, and they won't get it in 200 or 300 years, because they will never get it. It cannot be learned by hearing. There's no way. This is higher above you than the heavens is the earth, and it has to be revealed, and revealed, it has to be interly revealed, and not as to a listening ear. I preach the word to you, and it comes to the twins. And all of you hear it. One is a reflector, the other as that which is not a reflector, that absorbs it, and it goes into your intellect in one of the hearing, and you die as an Adam, the intellectual, carnal-minded. It goes to another, and they don't wrestle with it whatsoever. They just believe. And it goes down into the heart, and they give God the glory, and then it's turned into spirit and life, and that life flows to their vein, to every blood vessel, to change them into the glorious image of the bone of His bone and the flesh of His flesh. That this life, even Christ within you, be made manifest in your mortal genes by coming right through your very blood genes to change you into that royal seed. I'd like for you to stand with me. These few things is to you. Who are you? Are ye sons of God, or are ye the beast? Who are you? And where are you? Are you in earth? Or are you they that dwell in heaven? Have you been translated into the kingdom of God? And that God, through the translation, chose you out of this world and hid you with Christ in God? Are ye they that dwell in heaven? Are you precious children of the living God? Are you alive from the dead forevermore? I once was dead in trespasses and sin, but now I'm alive forevermore. Do you have the wonderful faith of Christ? If you do, then you have the resurrection. And if you have the resurrection, then you have the truth and the life. And if you have the truth and the life, then you pass from death unto life. And you are dead to the law, but the body of the Lord Jesus, as to that body of which the law had dominion, He killed it, and you are no more in the flesh. Therefore, your body is dead because of sin, and your spirit is now free. And it belongs to the heavenly source. And if you turn, when you hear things like this, and go back into the wallowing in the mire, and back to the lapping of the vomit, back to the old tempers and the jealousy and the pouting and the evil thoughts. Charity thinketh no evil. Charity behaveth not itself unseemingly. Charity seeketh not its own. When you go back to those things that are in the world and to the worldly mind and to the worldly desire and back to the flesh and back to money and back to the fame and businesses and popularity of this world, to your human desire, it is a positive proof that you do not have the Holy Spirit, and that you're not born again, and that you are still in the world, and your affection is still on the world, and the desire of the world is still your treasures, and your treasures are still in the world, and your heart is still in the world, and still on the body, and still on the flesh, and that it's not in Christ Jesus at all. Not at all.
But you that love the word, that go into war with the body to overcome the body, that this life may be made manifest in your mortal genes, to subdue it to every thought, to grow in the grace and knowledge to the full measure of the full stature, to come to the full reward, that you may love him more. I want to love him more. I want to love him more. I surrender, Lord, all to thee, Lord. I surrender. I surrender all. So then, if you find yourself as to a spiritual struggle where the spirit is struggling against your flesh, to subdue it, to become more like Jesus, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus on earth, I long to be like him. From Bethlehem's manger came forth the stranger on earth, I long to be like him. So then, if you are doing that, then there's a continual warfare between the body and the spirit, and you will subdue the body by faith, a little at a time, if you'll believe. And when you stumble and stagger, don't condemn yourself. Keep your faith high. Believe in God. But if you allow for foolishness and make allowance for your flesh just to enjoy certain things that you don't want to give up and that you don't want to die out to, then that means that you don't have the Holy Spirit. You don't belong to God. So then that means that you're lost. Let's sing a little chorus together. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet Savior, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet, precious Savior, sweep over my soul. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild sea no more. Though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Sing that with me. So we need the Lord. We need thee. It's every hour we need thee. I need thee now, precious Jesus. Oh, how I need thee. So don't turn him away. So don't turn him away. For he has come back to your hearts once again. Just let Jesus in to stay. For oh, how you'll need him just to plead your cause on that eternal day. Listen to Jesus and hear his loving voice, and don't turn him away. You can come to the altars if you like. They're open. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross
for you. For at the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. For at the cross, where we first saw the light and the burdens of our hearts rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight. Now I'm happy all the day. I don't need no gold and silver, and I don't need no worldly fame. All I want is more of Jesus, for to me He's everything. So you can have all the gold and silver, and you can have the diamond ring. All I need is more of Jesus, for to me He's everything. So give me that old time religion, old time religion, old time religion, 'cause it's good enough. Give me that old time religion, old time religion, old time religion, it's good enough for me. It will take us all to heaven, take us all to heaven, take us all to heaven, and it's good enough. So give me that old time religion, old time religion, old time religion, 'cause it's good. It was good for my mother and my father, good for my mother and my father, good for my mother and my father, and it's good enough for me. So give me that old time religion, old time religion, old time religion, 'cause it's good enough. I want that old, old time religion, old time religion, 'cause it's goody. I've got that old time religion, old time religion, old time religion, and it's goody. Can you sing it? We've got that old time religion, old time religion, old time religion, and it's good enough. We've got that old time religion, old time religion, and it's good enough. One more time. Oh, give me that old, old-time religion, old-time religion. One more time. We've got that old-time religion, Holy Ghost religion, old-time religion, and it satisfies me. Let's lift our hands up together, can we? And I want to praise Him, and I want to praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. I'll give Him glory all ye people, for His blood it's washed away every stain. One more time together. So I praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise that Lamb for sinners slain. Let us give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood it's washed away every stain. Now while your heads are bowed and your hands are lifted up, and while you're searching in your hearts, the Bible said search your hearts and see if you be in the faith. Search your hearts. See if you believe what the minister's saying. See if this is penetrating your heart. See if it's just an intellectual infatuation that when you leave from here, that your mind is not programmed at all. That in the least little temptation and the least little problem, you go to talking derogatively. You start talking naturally and carnally. And you start talking out of school and start thinking the things of the world. Or is your mind in Christ that you meditate in His laws day and night? Do you think of these wonderful blessings of God? Do you have the thoughts as to the heavenly treasure within your earthen vessels? If you do, then let's meditate in His laws day and night. Let's love Him day and night. Brother Pete was telling me over in the late evening, he said, you know, I had a dream or a night vision, and said, Brother Pike, he said, I saw you walking on the air. He said, you was actually walking on the air. And you'd walk from one balcony to another. He said, he talked like it was with the greatest of ease, just walking on the air. Well, that's not foreign to the Word of God. The Lord lift up Ezekiel, some of the others, and took him through the air, even there to the Valley of Dry Bones. And He's going to catch us all the way into the air. For the Bible said we shall lift up from this earth and be caught up into the natural elements as to what heaven appears to be, as to the natural mind. And people will see us. As the gravity of this earth loses power over us. But he said, I wanted to walk on the air so bad. I remember Peter walking on the water, you know. I wanted to walk so bad, he said, and I tried, but I couldn't walk on the air. Well, what it indicates is walking in the Spirit, and the fact that there was an effort means that if you keep on believing, you'll be able to walk on the air. You'll be able to walk in the Spirit. God will lift you up in the Spirit. Up into levitation, as the world says. Because we're all human beings. And we all have the same right. We have the same God if we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's but one God. And what He says to one, He says to all. What He gives to one, He gives to all. He shares with you. Just like He does anybody else. There's no respect of person. There's no special people with God. You're His beloved body. And if you be bathed in Christ, then are you of great importance, to the extent that when He started to go away, He said, Peter, feed My lambs.
feed my lambs. So then even the more so, God deals with you because he loves you and he cuddles you. And just desire the sincere milk of the word that you might grow thereby. And as you grow strong, the meat belongs to the strong who by reasoning have exercised their senses to be able to discern between the good and the evil. While you're lifting up your hands and standing there, I'm going to ask Chris to come up and dismiss us. We're glad to have Dale here tonight. I didn't notice Dale until after I'd started preaching. But I'm glad to have Dale. He's such a courageous person. Amazingly courageous to me. But nevertheless, the devil ain't been able to defeat Dale. He's threatened him. He's done everything he could. But Dale is just as bold and strong in faith, pushing on as much as ever. The devil hasn't been able to do anything to him. His faith is still powerful. Though the outer man perish, yet the inner man is renewed day by day. So let our evaluation be proper, and let's not place the greater value on that of less emphasis, or the greater emphasis on that of less value. See, let's have faith in God, and let's evaluate properly, and realize that the emphasis should be placed on the spirit and not on the body. And while Chris comes to dismiss us, let's just lift our hands up, close our eyes, and let's just search our hearts as we sing this one more time together. Can we do that? And I will praise him. Amen.